All right. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, y'all can do better now. Happy Mother's Day, man. Hopefully it's a good Mother's Day. It's beautiful outside, that's for sure. So for y'all to be in here, that's a big thing. That's a good thing. We are excited to be able to celebrate Mother's Day. And as I was walking around, I was seeing some of the moms, and they look really happy this morning. So hopefully things went good at home. Maybe got breakfast in bed. Maybe the kids are here. Maybe they actually got you a card or something like that. I don't know. Maybe that's going to happen after church. So for those of you that have a frown on your face, maybe that hadn't happened yet, and I shouldn't be talking about it. I don't know. But Mother's Day is a special day, and it's an opportunity to acknowledge the moms. And it's a day to celebrate the fact that, you know, you've had this influence, just like that video talked about, all the different things that you've done to influence. It can also be a tough day for moms who want to be moms, those who desire to have a child. Maybe God has not allowed that to happen, you know, but it can be a tough day for ladies that are in that situation. So we want you to know, we think about you today as well. And so we pray that God will minister to you today as we move through the message, and as we just seek to hopefully convey something that will speak to moms and even moms who want to be. And so today is a special day. I was thinking, you know what, I'll get Laurie to teach on this. She's a mom. I what do I know about Mother's Day, right? You know, what do I know about mothers? And so I asked Laurie about teaching, and Laurie does not like to get up in front of people, if you guys know Laurie very well. And she was like, with graduation for Zach and all this going on, and plus I have to ask her about 6 months out for her to you know, because she's real structured and scheduled, or at least that's her excuse. And she goes, no, you'll do fine. And so all week I've been, you know, thinking about it and praying about it. And so I sent, if you guys notice, it just has notes. And anyway, so Donna, who does all the note cards and the slide presentation and stuff like that, I called her and said, hey, listen, I said, just do notes on the card. I said, I don't know anything about Mother's Day. And she was like, okay. Like, are you kidding me? And so what I wanted to, I don't know anything about being a mother, but here's the thing, I know a little something about being a child. And so for me growing up, I was a mama's boy. And I love my mom. And, you know, and so I there's a lot of things that I saw in my mom that I thought were incredible things. There's things that, you know, looking back as a believer, you know, I wish that maybe there had been some changes that had taken place in certain areas of her life. But the thing is, I know a lot about being a kid and being a child and looking to a parent or to a mom. And so I want to walk with you through a scripture today that I think will speak to any of us and all of us, really. And it's a great passage. It's out of Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read the whole chapter. And so, moms, I want you to hear from me today. You know, this is just some good stuff. I've taught from Proverbs 31, but the women always come up and go, why do you always teach out of that passage on Mother's Day? Because, I mean, that's almost like too lofty to attain. You know, the proverbial woman is a little bit up there. And so the thing is, it's kind of like the proverbial woman that we see in Proverbs is one of those things where it's almost like the law. It's like, how do you get there? And it's because of God's grace that you ever get any of that. And so I hope you understand that if you're ever in a thing where it's teaching on Proverbs 31 and you as a mother go, man, I can't do that. I mean, I can't do all that this lady has done. Then realize it's because of God's grace. It's not that we earn that role. It's because of God's grace and God's mercy that you're able to be the mom that God has called you to be. And so let's look at Romans 12 today. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. In verse 9 it says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. And do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. And dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. And don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. And so I wanted to kind of throw out a list here of some things, and you can jot these down. And these are some things that what children need to see in their mom. And so if you're a mom and you're thinking, hey, what does a kid, you know, need to see? Because a lot of times we think about our role as a parent, and we want to be a good parent. We want to make a difference in the lives of our kids. We want to help launch them into life. You know, we want to help them be successful. We want them to know that we love them. And so there's a few things, I think, from a child's perspective that, you know, we need to see in our mom. We need to see taking place. And so the first one is this. We need to see you live for God. We need to see you live for God. One of the things I think is important is for us to see our parents living for God. Not just attending church. Not just coming and sitting in a chair or, you know, and taking up a little space and, you know, and just kind of showing up and kind of going through the motions. But I think it's important for all kids to see their parents live for God. To truly live as a person who wants to honor God, to live out their faith in such a way that it becomes something that you see on a regular basis, you experience it on a regular basis, you're on the receiving end of God's mercy through your parents. I think every child would love to see their parents live for God. And so I think that's something that we could say, you know, we need to see you live for God. We need to see what that looks like. I meet with families for pre-marriage counseling a lot of times, and one of the things I'll often ask them is about family of origin. Tell me about how your family was like when you grew up. What was it like? What was your mom like? What was your dad like? Are they still married? How many times have they been married since that divorce, if they've divorced? You know, and so the thing is the reason I ask that is because a lot of what we learn in life, we learn from who? Mom and dad, right? We look back to them and we realize, you know, there's things that my dad did or my mom did that I don't like, but you know what? I'm doing those same things. There's things that my mom did or my dad did that I do like, and I want to be like them, and I am doing those things as well. So the thing is we need our parents to be modeling what it means to live for God. We need our parents to truly love God, to live for God. And whenever they're doing that, if they're following the great commandment to love God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength, it's going to affect a lot of things, including us as kids. And so your children are looking to you. And a lot of how they perceive God will be because it has a lot to do with how they perceive you. Like with fathers especially, oftentimes if the dad is the ruling, you know, angry tyrant, it seems like they perceive God that way. If you're a loving father, they tend to see God that way. And so moms, you know, I think it's important for them to see the tenderness and the mercy that they see in their mom. Here's another one. We need to see change in you. As a child looking at our parents, you know, we need to see that they're changing. If the Bible teaches that we're to be changed and transformed into the image of Christ, become more and more like Him day in, day out, then you don't need to be the same all the time. There needs to be a change. There needs to be areas of your life that you're dying to self and that you're becoming more and more like Christ. You know, one of the things that we often talk about is that as Christians, we should be agents of change. And we can't be agents of change if we're not being changed. And so for every one of us, hopefully in our homes, we try to be, as parents, we try to be agents of change. We try to teach. We try to model for our kids. But the thing is, our kids need to see us changing. And we might say, well, Mike, they need stability. Change is a good thing. We're consistently changing and becoming more and more like Christ. And so for our children watching us, and they do watch us, I know we think they don't listen to us. You know, there's a certain age, you know how it goes. I mean, there's certain ages where they watch everything they do. They ask you 1,000 questions and you wonder, when will we get through that question stage? So they're watching and they're asking and they're learning all these things. And then it gets to a point where, you know, they're kind of halfway there, and then it kind of like they don't listen to anything you say and they've checked out. You don't know anything anymore. And then later in life, they kind of come back and they realize you do know a little bit. And so they want to ask you questions and maybe ask for counsel or direction. But they go through stages. And so the thing is do they see you changing and becoming more and more like Christ day in, day out? Do they see the change and the transformation? And we see over here in the scripture, you know, in Romans, it's talking about be transformed, be changed by the power of God and the Word of God. It says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. And don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. For many of us, as we grow in our understanding of Scripture, we begin to realize, hey, you know, the way I've been acting does not honor God. The way I've been acting is, that's the pattern of this world. That's the pattern of what the world teaches. That's the way they live. We're supposed to live differently. And so we become transformed by God renewing our mind. You know, and the more that God renews our mind, He changes the way we think. It changes the way that we act. It changes the way that we see things. It changes the way that we hear things. And so for every mom in this room, I would say, just let that be your prayer. God, change me, transform me into the godly woman that You want me to be, so that I can be a godly influence in the lives of the people around me. And I think most of us in this room would have to agree with this. A godly woman, a godly mom affects many people, not just our kids, but the kids around us. Not just our kids, but also your husband. One of the things that Scripture teaches is, and if you're a believer and you're married to an unbeliever, it says, women, live out your faith in such a way that he will come to faith in Christ. And so you are an influence. And because of how you're being changed and transformed, you know what? He will see Jesus in you and choose and desire to have what you have. There was a guy years ago that attended our church. And you guys have heard me talk about Charlie a good bit. But Charlie was an older gentleman. And he was telling me how he came to know Christ years ago. He said he was a drunk. He said he had came home drunk one night and or early one morning. And his wife would not let him in the house. And he said, you know, for years she was a mean woman. Mean woman is what he would say. He said, but he came home one night and she said, you're not coming in this house drunk. And he said, so I slept out on the yard. You know, I slept out in the yard on the ground. And he said, and so I got up. He said, I heard the door slam. He said, and she left. And I asked her, I said, where are you going? She goes, I'm going to church. And he said, I went in the house. I sat there. And the more I thought about it, he said, I thought, you know what? You know, something's different about her, and it had happened a few weeks earlier. He said, but for years she was mean. And he said, you know, you'd think her making me not come in the house was mean. He said, but she had decided, you know what, as long as I was drunk, I wasn't coming in. She had established a boundary. He said, other than that, she there was a change. So he got up. He kind of cleaned himself up. He followed her to church. He went and sat in the back of the church, and his wife is in there. And so he goes back the next week, and he sits in the back of the church again. And he ends up hearing the gospel and gives his life to Christ. But it's because of the change that he had seen in his wife. And he said when he walked to the pastor, he goes, Charlie, what are you coming for? He goes, I want what my wife has. And so for us, we realize, you know what, God uses that influence. And so for moms, you're a major agent of change. Here's another one. We need to see and feel tenderness. A child needs tenderness from a mom. And let me just say this, dads, they need tenderness from you as well. You don't always have to be the rough and tough, mean dad, you know, a cowboy up mentality. Sometimes they need you to hug them. Sometimes they need you to love on them as well. But we all know that, hey, when you're sick, you want your mom taking care of you. Or at least that's usually the way it is with me. I wanted my mom to take care of me. And you need that tenderness from your mother. You need that. And so here's the thing. I love the picture that we see in Scripture. You know, it talks about Jesus, you know, caring for Jerusalem. Like a mother hen with her biddies or whatever, you know, caring for them, protecting them. And so we see that God has this heart for people. He has a tenderness for you. He hates to see you hurt. He hates to see you make bad decisions. And He wants to care for you. And there's times He just wants to put His arms around you and love on you. And so for us to have that mentality, you know what? I want my kids to see tenderness in me. Our children need to see that tenderness. They need to see that, you know what, we are compassionate, we are tender. And so they need to see and feel that tenderness. Here's another one. We need to see consistency. We need to see consistency as a child looking to a parent, looking to a mom. You need to see consistency. It's not this up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. We begin to think you have lost it, that you know what, you've got some kind of mental disorder or whatever. But there needs to be a consistency. You know that, hey, you know what, at least you can count on them. You can count on them to be there. You can count on them to be tender. You can count on them to hear you out. And so there needs to be a consistency. You know, too often in our walk with Christ, that's what it looks like. It's mountaintop, bottomed out. Mountaintop, bottomed out. And there needs to be a consistency to our walk. There needs to be a consistency to our walk. We look over here in these scriptures, we see where it says, you know, that we're to be faithful with the gifts we've been given. Not just serve for one day, but just, be faithful with your gifts. If you've been given this gift, use it to the fullest. If you've been given this gift, use it to the fullest. Not just, I'm going to use it for a while and then I'm done for a while. I'm going to use it for a while and then I'm done for a while. But let them see consistency. Let them see us in our walk. Let us see us faithful to pray. Let them see us that we're faithful to read Scripture. Let them see us faithful in our quiet time. Again, the things they see will help develop the tendencies that they will have as well. And then here's another one. We need to see you love others. We need to see you love others. In verse 9 it says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. See, kids know when you're fake a lot sooner than adults do. And so whenever you're putting on a cheese and you're putting on a fake, you know, and your kids are standing there, they know. They know. I was watching Andy Griffith this past week, and Andy had this older guy that had come back and he had kind of come into Aunt B's life, and Opie sits there and goes, Paul, you don't like Mr. Such and Such, do you? And he goes, well, he's all right. He goes, I don't think you like him or something like it. And he kept going, and Andy goes, well, he's a friend of Aunt B's, you know, and he's come back into her life and all this kind of stuff. And Opie goes, well, Dad, will you just shoot me straight? Do you like him or not? And he goes, well, you know, and he finally goes, I don't like him either, Dad. And he's like, so the thing is, you know, the kids see through our fake a lot of times a lot sooner than adults do. And so the thing is let, you know, your children see you truly love each other. Let them truly see that you love people. Not that you just pretend to because that's the Christian thing to do. Not that you pretend to because you don't want anybody to know how you really feel. But let me read it again. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. In other words, to really love people. And so let your kids see that, you know what? You're not just giving lip service. I mean, you really do love people. Let them hear you speak loving things over people. We have a tendency, if we're insecure, and I grew up insecure, is I like to try to find the wrong in someone else to make me feel better about myself. Any of y'all struggle with that? Man, I can remember growing up, if I could find something wrong with somebody, it made me feel a little bit better about myself. And that, I'll go ahead and tell you, there's a lot of Christians that live that way. Well, I'm not as bad a Christian as they are, and I don't cuss like they do, and I don't dip like they do, and I don't drink like they do. And what we do is if I can find something wrong with somebody else, it'll make me feel a little bit better about myself. Let me just tell you, that's sick. That's not loving people. It's belittling people. It's shaming people. It's trying to find something wrong with them to feel better about ourselves. And so we need to see our parents love others. And love is not just a word. Love is an action. Love is time. Our kids need time. We often heard it said, for a child, love is spelled T-I-M-E, time with them. We have short windows. And I know we have our children, and we think that we're going to have all this time. And I remember people telling us when we first had Hunter, our oldest one, who's 21 now, you better love on them all you can. You better enjoy it while you can. They're going to be gone before you know it. And I'm thinking, whatever. You know, we have 21 years or whatever. You know, and so here we are. Man, it's flown by. And so now I'm the one telling the younger people, hey, man, make sure you enjoy those moments. Make sure you guard those moments. Because it's fleeting. Man, it's flying, and it is. Hard for me to believe how quickly our children have grown up. And so our kids need time. Here's the thing, not just them, but people around us need time. We need to see you love others. We need to see you work hard. I think it's important for our children to learn how to work from their mom and dad. Their boss shouldn't have to teach them how to work hard. I don't think that, you know, we should have to teach people whenever they get to a job how to have a work ethic. That should come from mom and dad. And if you're known for being lazy, do something about it. Change. If you're known for, hey, man, just trying to, you know, slip in, slip out, not really get a whole lot done, just kind of get what you can paycheck-wise, change. Your kids need to see that you have a good work ethic. They need to see that you are willing to give your best. They need to see that you're willing to earn your paycheck. You're not always looking for a handout. You're not always looking for something free. But they see that you work hard. You give your best. You honor God with how you work. Your kids need to see that. They need to see that you're not a sluffer. You're not just kind of laying around. You're not lazy. I mean, the Scripture speaks to that. It says, man, work hard. Work hard. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Let your kids see that you're not lazy, but that you work hard and that you serve the Lord enthusiastically. The Bible says to, in everything that you do, do it as unto the Lord. And so let your kids see that you have a good work ethic, that you do care about getting things done, and you want them done right. Model those things. Because what happens is they end up getting hired, you know, and then they don't have a good work ethic. And maybe, let me just say this, I know sometimes this happens. Moms and dads both do this. We do so much for our kids, they never learn to work. We do everything for them because we remember, hey, well, you know, Pastor Mike said it's a short window and we better enjoy the moments. And so I'm just going to do everything for them. That's not what I'm telling you. You need to teach your kids responsibility. You need to teach them boundaries. You need to teach them, you know, hey, there's a reward situation. You do your work, you get maybe get a reward in some way. And so the thing is I'm not saying to do everything for your kid. You'll never hear me say that. I think we're to teach them and let them have jobs. Let them learn a little bit about life. Because here's what we're supposed to be doing. Launching them into life. Not taking care of them for the rest of their life. I can remember my mom always saying, hey, listen, I just want y'all to come back and live here. And I was like, that ain't going to happen. Hey, we'll just add on another room. You know, and I love my mom and I'm a mama's boy, but I was not living there. I wouldn't tell y'all, that's unhealthy. And I know that in our culture that you see that more and more and more, you know, and I was talking to a lady this past week. She said, you know, I'm that mentality. When my kid hits 18, they're out. They're on their own. She goes, now everybody wants them to be 30 when they're out. You know, she said, when do we launch them into life? And I was like, good question. Good question. And so let them see you work. Let them learn a work ethic. Make them clean the room up. Now, I know the kids probably don't like today's message, but I'm just saying that's what we are to model. And so we're to work hard and let them see that. Teach them those ethics. We need to see you serve. We need to see you serve. And that means to use your gifts. Serving the body of Christ. Serving others. Not for a paycheck. But to serve because it's the gifts that God has given you. Last week we had our 301 class. And let me just say this. We have a growth track. You guys hear us talk about it often. It's called our growth track. And it starts out with our connection class. And our connection class is where you hear about the values and the vision of Journey Church and how we're structured and what we believe. And there's usually a pretty good group of people that will go through that class. And they will commit to become a part of the family of Journey Church and say, hey, listen, I want to be a part of this. I want to get involved. I want to get engaged. I want to make a difference. And so it starts out with a group. We'll just say 20. 201 is the next week, how to grow spiritually. What are some of the basics to growing spiritually? The basic things that we need in order to learn how to feed ourselves and to grow spiritually. Usually that drops down from anywhere about 20, sometimes down to 15, sometimes down to 10. There's a nutrition rate there, in other words. And then the third week is 301. And 301 is, hey, learning how to serve. It's called serve. And so we've got connect, grow, and serve. That's our process that we try to move people through. It's our growth track, if you will. And so we get to serve, and it's, hey, using our gifts. It's helping people discover what their gifts are. Discovering their gifts so that they can serve the body of Christ. And if we started with 20, we might be lucky if we've got 8 when we get to serve. And I know people say, well, you know, calendar-wise, I forgot or whatever. If it's important, we make time for it. If it's important, we commit to it. Like I said, we even have an agreement. We say, hey, this is my covenant, membership covenant. I commit to do these things, and we go from 20 to 8. And so what happens is, you know, I tell people all the time, I say, man, if you want to get connected at Journey Church, it's not just coming and sitting in one of these chairs. It's getting in a life group. That's part of what we cover in Grow. You need to be in a life group. You need to be around other people. And then, hey, 301 Serve, what we do in there is we talk about, hey, you know what? Use your gifts to help build up the body of Christ, to reach people, to serve people, to make a difference in their life. And let me just say this to all of the parents in here. Your kids need to see you serve. They need to see you making a difference. They need to believe that, you know what, you really believe what the preacher's preaching. You believe what the words to the songs are saying. And you believe it so much that you want to serve the people that are coming in the door, that prayerfully they will hear the gospel and respond and give their life to Christ. And maybe one day you'll see them in heaven. And so our kids ought to see that in us, that we are willing to serve. We're using our gifts. We're making a difference for the kingdom of God. They need to see that. Would y'all agree? Yes, they need to see that. And too often, you know, we want our kids to get involved in church, but we're not involved. We're not engaged. You might say, well, Mike, I come and sit in on a Sunday. They need to see more than that. Our kids, we need to see you forgive. Too often, our kids see us go through life mad at a mom, mad at a dad, mad at an uncle, mad at an aunt. They hear about it on the way to family get-togethers. They hear about the negativity. And here's the thing, they don't see us forgive. They see us remain bitter all through life. Bitter towards their mom, bitter towards their dad, bitter towards someone. And so let me just say this, your kids need to see you learn how to forgive. Because they'll learn how to forgive by watching you. Or they'll learn how to be bitter by watching you. And so the thing is we have to be willing to say, you know, God, help me to forgive the way that you have forgiven me. In this passage over here, it says, bless those who persecute you. That's hard to get your mind around. Someone who's persecuting you, attacking you, maybe verbally or emotionally or whatever way it might be. It says to bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. So in other words, the very thing that we're told here to model for our kids is that we don't run people down. We don't curse them. We don't put them down. We pray blessings over them. We pray for God's work in their life. We pray for God to get a hold of their heart. We pray for God to set them free. And we choose to forgive them. See, that's what we're told to model for our kids. So maybe there's some of you in here that, you know, you could, if I were to ask your kids right now, hey, who does your mom or your dad, you know, really have disdain towards or really doesn't like or almost hates? Could you tell me? And here's the thing, some of your kids could tell me that. Because they've seen you live that out and model that. But what if they saw us forgive and make right relationships with people? Doesn't mean we have to hang out with those people all the time. Doesn't mean that we have to see them day in, day out. But it may mean that, you know what? We're in a right place with them. We're in a good relationship with them. So what if our kids saw that? How would it change how they will have relationships? It would change it for the better. And then here's another. We need to see you bless others. We need to see you bless others. I always think it's neat whenever our kids get to see us give somebody something without anything in return. I think it's good when our kids get to see us buy someone a meal, stop and help them change a tire. When you just bless somebody. Maybe it's a neighbor. Take them a cake. Maybe it's someone who's in the hospital. Maybe it's someone who has lost a loved one. And they see you preparing a meal and you take it over and you bless that family. And I know you might say, well, that's kind of old school. That's traditional. Hey, you know what? It still works. So what if our kids saw us blessing people and doing things for others? I think it says a lot. Maybe you go to a restaurant and you see a family who's struggling. Or maybe it's just a family that God just kind of says, that's the family I want you to bless. And you tell the waitress, hey, listen, I want to take care of their meal. And I don't want you to tell them who did it. But you just want to bless them. Sometimes it's neat just to do that. I remember when it happened to Laurie and I, the very first time, we were eating in a little small cafe out in the middle of nowhere. And Laurie was very pregnant with Hunter, our first son. And I mean, like, she's way out there, and we go in, we sit down, and I get ready to pay, and the lady goes, your bill's already been paid. And I'm like, I haven't paid it yet. She goes, no, someone took care of your bill. And I'm like, well, who did that? She goes, he didn't want me to say. And of course, it was a small cafe, and I start deducting. I start trying to figure out who it is, you know, playing private eye, whatever. I wonder who had done that. And so the thing is, man, it blessed Lori and I. You know, and so the thing is there's every once in a while, man, we just need a blessing, don't we? So sometimes you just need an attaboy or a blessing, and you go, dude, that spoke to me. That meant, you know, thank you, God, I needed that. But here's the thing is, our kids need to see us do that. Just bless somebody, not letting anybody know, not doing anything to get attention, but just blessing them. And so I think it'd be important, I think it'd be neat for our kids to see that. And so we need to see you bless others. And I didn't put this in your outline, but I think it's pretty obvious, is we need to see you follow Christ. We need to see you follow Christ. We need to see you love people the way that Jesus loved people. To bless them the way Jesus blessed people. To serve people the way Jesus served people. We just need to see you follow Christ. I put some steps down here today, and this is up to you, but I thought these would be some good ones. Next steps for me today. I choose to follow God's pattern and not the ones of this world. That's probably one of the toughest things that you could do today. Because so many of us want to fit into this world. We want to be just like everybody else. We want to be normal, if you would. And sometimes God's pattern is not normal, it's supernatural. And for us to say today, you know what? I want to be set apart. I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. I want to be godly. I want to be spirit-filled, spirit-led. Those are the things of God. And so maybe today you say, you know what? That's what I want to choose today. That's the step for me. I choose today to follow God's pattern and not the pattern of this world. Maybe the second one here. I choose to serve by using my gifts for the Lord. There are many of you in this room, and I can just tell by numbers and by looking around at faces, there's many of you in here that you aren't using your gifts to build up the body of Christ, to serve in the church, or maybe even to serve in your community. Maybe that's a step you need to take today. You just go, you know what? It's time for me to use my gifts. And the Scripture makes it pretty clear. It says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Do it gladly. And then the last one. There's a passage here at the end I thought was neat. But it says, I choose to be honorable. We all want to be honored at the end of our life. But what if we were honorable throughout our life? It says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. That's the tenderness. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. So choose today. Maybe that's the step. Say, you know what? I want to be honorable in this life. I want my kids to know that I seek to live for God, that I want to do what's right. I hate what is evil, and I choose and I seek to do what is right. I don't want to just fit in here. I want to be different. I want to be set apart. I want to be righteous. I want to be holy. Let's pray. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask you just to think about your role as a parent, as a mother. Do my kids see these things in me? Do they see my love for God? Do they see my love for the Word of God? Do they see me love people the way that God loves people? Do they see me serve people? Do they see me using my gifts of hospitality or for teaching or just serving in some capacity? Do they see me using my gifts of creativity? Do they see me using my gifts to make a difference in the kingdom of God? Do they see me doing those things? Or do they see me walking through life bitter, angry, resentful, hateful, mean? Do they see me forgive people? as I have been forgiven. They see me bless people as I have been blessed. What do they see? None of these things are possible, to be honest with you, without the power of the living God living within us. None of these things are possible without Christ being Lord and Savior. None of these things are possible without the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. None of these things are attainable without Christ living in us and through us. So maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. I want to give you that opportunity. I'll tell you this, it's the greatest gift that you'll ever receive, and it's the greatest gift you'll ever give to your kids. So maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. You say, Mike, that's the step I need to take. I need to choose Christ. I need to accept Him as Lord and Savior. I've never been saved. But that is a need that I have. So if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Nobody's looking but me. Just raise your hand and say, Mike, I want to accept Christ today. Mike, I need Jesus living in me, living through me. Anybody in the room, just raise your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see your hand. And let me just lead you through a prayer. This is a simple prayer. It's a prayer of the heart. It's your prayer. And right where you're at, just pray this prayer. You say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe that you can save me. I believe that you can change me. And Jesus, with all the faith that I have, I put my faith in you. I put my faith in you, Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins, and to change me and teach me how to live for you. That's repentance. So Jesus, with all the faith that I have, I ask you to come in and live within me. There are others here. Most of the people in this room say, I mean, I'm a believer. Let me just ask you this. Have your kids been seeing you live as one who has been born again, as one who has been redeemed, as one who has been purchased with a price, one who has been forgiven and set free? If not, then let today be a day of reckoning. Let it be a day of change. Let it be a day of turning. Let it be a day where you say, from this point forward, I choose to follow Christ. I choose to die to self. I choose to live after the patterns that God has given, not the patterns of this world. I'm going to close this in prayer. And the VIP room back here in the back, there may be some of you just need to come back and say, listen, I need someone to pray with me. If you raised your hand for salvation, you need to talk to a counselor. They're back there. They want to meet with you. But maybe you just need someone just to pray over you, pray for you. But those counselors are trained for that very reason. My prayer is that today would be the best Mother's Day ever for some of you ladies. Because you'd realize, you know what? God is at work. God is changing me. And God, I am reminded today of what you're doing. And God, I'm thankful for the opportunity to influence those around me for you. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for these mothers. God, I pray that they have felt honored today. I know we've got the special room over on the other hallway set up just for them. Just to honor them, just to bless them. God, it's so cool just to be able to bless people. Father, I know we've got the pictures for the families to do the family portraits set up outside. God, we just want to bless people. God, I pray that our people here at Journey Church would always have that mentality, looking for ways to bless others because you have blessed us so richly. God, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for these moms. I pray that it's a special day. I pray they have a smile on their face today. And God, I pray that you would just honor them, meet the needs that they have. God, you know what their needs are. God, meet their needs that they might be able to meet the needs of others. In Jesus' name.